scrolls on, on down the line, and the list goes on.
And the hump goes on. That's what we need, Jimmy.
So the show would be called Hump Goes On.
On down the line, and the hump goes on. I can even sing it.
There you go. We can isolate that, and that would now be the jingle that would go with this.
Yeah, I showed you that like audio AI thing that David Wixenspan did. Because
it's scary shit.
I was like, oh, well, they can't do Southern accents that well. Maybe I'm safe. And then he sent that, and that's what I like to think that I sound like, because it does take out a little.
Your
bit
accent's
of the accent.
Really not that thick though. The main word where I can hear it is when you say because.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, also, I had something happen to my jaw years ago. I'm a little slack-jawed, Jimmy, as they say. I'm a little slack-jawed. That helps it.
Make a lot of sense.
There was a long time when I took like speech classes and stuff. I tried to get rid of my accent because I thought, oh man, nobody will want me. Nobody will hire me. I can't do commentary if that's the case. I don't do commentary. I just break news and talk shit to Shaza McKenzie. So like, to hell with it. But yeah, we were talking like it's about to get like real scary for a lot of like high level celebrities that.
Yeah.
But also they'll have some plausible deniability as well.
Yeah, it is. Like I was telling Sean and I talked about this, and I told them people are going to have alibis for everything.
Yeah.
Because shit's going to come out. And I told you, I saw a video of a DJ and he just did it for fun. He didn't mean anything by it. He used AI to write a rap song and then he played it at a gig in Eminem's voice. And the crowd went ape shit because they thought they were hearing a new track from Eminem.
Yeah.
And they went ape shit. And then everybody was asking him to release it. And he had to come out and say, I did it like for fun. I used this AI software. It sounded like Eminem on the track. Like it's scary where things are going.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Do you remember the Chappelle Show skit, the Tupac song that he wrote after he was dead?
It's very, very vague. No.
It was about the rumors that Tupac never really died because he would rap about like current events. And he would interrupt his own song and be like, I wrote this song in 94. But he'd be talking about George W. Bush.
Right.
Good shit. Really good shit. Oh, yeah. So somebody says Denise's impersonation sounds like deepfake SRS. So a funny story about that. I mentioned before I used to do some voiceover stuff. And since I've like you lose it when you don't do that for a long time, you sort of lose your ability to do it without practice. And I would sort of get like solicitations for pitches of characters and character voices. And I still get them sometimes. And I sent them a link of Denise pretending to be me. I was like, that's a cartoon character. Denise being like, we're down here in Kentucky and we eat leather.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a cartoon character right there. I love it.
But, she could do, when you think about it, Denise could do voiceover cartoon work.
She could.
She could
do very, very
legitimately.
Well,
yeah.
She could. So teased the breaking. Good God. I can't even say breaking news because the other day, Becky Lynch posted, ain't gonna be at Raw. And I had 24 people hit me up and say, what's her contract status? So guess what your boy did, Jimmy? I found out the contract status and I had weenies on the interweb still getting mad about it. So it's a nothing story. Why'd you even report it if it's not that close? Well, let me tell you guys a little secret. Every multi-year contract had about 14 months left on it at some point. Mm-hmm, and now we all know when her deal is up. Had people asking, was her maternity leave associated? Will it cause any sort of extension? No, it was a new deal signed in 2021. It's up next year. But we have mentioned recently that the Elite and Young Bucks are negotiating new deals. They are not alone, Jimmy. Hangman Page is negotiating a new deal as well. This is going to be one of AEW's most important years ever. CM Punk coming back, mm-hmm. a new show. You're running Wembley. Mm-hmm. You're probably locking in rights fees.
New rights, yep.
And you are negotiating with four of your biggest talent, period. That's a big-ass year for them, Jimmy.
Yep. And, you know, I learned with Cody Rhodes, never say, oh, this talent will never leave. Yeah. And so with Becky Lynch, I'm not going to ever suggest, oh, she's, you know, she's going to be WWE for life, because you never know. I can't help but feel that way about Kenny and the Bucks. Like, I can't help but feel. Now, granted, Cody was a founder too. The difference is, though, Cody's story about, well, you know, my dad never got to win the big one. Omega and the Bucks don't have that. And Omega has been very public in saying that he goes where his heart is, and his heart is Japan. And WWE doesn't have the connection to Japan that that AEW does. I'd be very surprised if Omega left AEW. But I'm never going to say they're not going to because of Cody. But I'd be very surprised.
They were on their way to WWE at one point before AEW swooped in.
Before AEW swooped in, yeah, yeah. And, but now it's hard AEW for me to envision.
Offer them more money, from what I understand, too. So,
do you know if Cody losing at Mania had any impact on the impression that AEW talent would have as a outside viewer?
No, I think that more than anything, his booking across multiple regimes has probably made a good impression on people.
So despite losing that match, he's been booked strong despite losing that match.
Yeah, because that was the big concern was, oh, well, they just bury us. And being in the main event of WrestleMania is not burying anybody.
Right, right. Okay, all right. I know that
also, Hangman's rep by the same people that Omega and the Bucks are. So,
right. What's your inkling on Becky? Do you see Becky being WWE for life, or do you see Becky, because obviously she's a mom now, and she might get to the point where she wants limited dates, and AEW is probably going to offer that more than WWE will. What's your thoughts on Becky's future, or your prediction?
I think that she, like Drew and other people, will wait and see how the offers come under Endeavor. And there's a little bit of a conflict there. She's rep by CAA and Endeavor is WME, obviously.
Yep.
So, like, well, will they necessarily push for somebody under CAA to get, like, a lot of outside opportunities? I mean, I can tell you that I'm working on a story about the morale in the WWE upon the merger and how people view that. That is something that people wonder, like, will this create more opportunities for us? Will this have more things that we can do? Will they be as afraid that we are going to just up and leave the company if we get these opportunities? So I would imagine WWE is probably going to do whatever it is they can to retain her. That's my expectation.
Right. Okay. All right. I want to talk about Will Ospreay's video that he put out about his health. And I know that I might come off like a dinosaur when I talk about this
one. Oh, you already do. If you've got to preface it with that, then yep. Oh, that's too many flips.
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. That's not what I'm suggesting. So, so if you haven't seen the video, and I'm sure a lot of people have, Will Ospreay said that he's been medically cleared, but he insinuated that he's not 100%. He said that he still feels a lot of weakness in his arm. He said his body is deteriorating. He doesn't know how long this ride is going to be. And he said, this is a quote. He said, it's really upsetting, and it's because I chose to do this style. That's what he said. Now, for years now, a lot of veterans have commented on the modern style of wrestling, and they've suggested that the wrestler should slow down. You know, everybody from Nash to Taker to Paul White, Mark Henry, everybody, they've suggested that the current style, which was adapted from the independent style of wrestling, they should slow it down because they're going to take time off their careers. And I've always kind of had the same mentality. Like, I've always thought some of these spots they're taking, they're very, very risky, very high risk. A lot of the young wrestlers, this is all they know because this is how they were trained. And that's the kind of matches that they've always worked. And I think that everybody wants to one up each other, and they want to do that big spot that's going to get the big pop from the crowd, but they risk cutting their career short. And
yeah, but like Rey Mysterio is still at it. Too Cold sure. Scorpio is still at it. Like they were two of the high Psychosis, Juventud Guerrera, Chris Jericho. Once people said that about him, still at it. Everybody in the TLC matches is still wrestling, but the base, Devon Dudley, who didn't do like a lot of that faster paced stuff. PCO is still at it. Like, you still have so many examples of, it's more about how you take care of yourself. Steve Austin never worked that style. And there you go. You could point.
I mean, he got Foley dumped on his head, Steve Austin. He got dumped on his head.
Anybody can get dumped on their head.
They
That's
can. You're right. You're right.
Anybody can get dumped on their head.
You're right. And obviously, you know, wrestling is not ballet and injuries can happen at any time. If I was a young wrestler that was coming in today, if I was a young wrestler, the last thing that I would want to do is a Canadian destroyer off a ladder bridge through stack tables on the floor. I wouldn't fucking do it. And I look at a guy like MJF, and MJF's good in the ring, no question. But MJF understood the way to really like elevate yourself is through your promo work, your character work. That's the way to really elevate yourself. And the odds of you becoming a longtime main eventer because you can do a Canadian destroyer off ladders through stack tables, it's a lot less than if you work on your character work and on your promo work. And when I look at a guy like Will Ospreay, who was peak level for a lot of years, he's 29 years old, he's going to be 30 next year. And he's talking about how his body is deteriorating. Now, when I talked about this on Twitter, because I talked about his video on Twitter, and people shit on me saying, you're full of shit, Jimmy. Ospreay hasn't worked that style in years. This is what they said to me, right? He's toning it down. In his own words in the video, he said his body is deteriorating because he chose to do that style. And in his own words, he said that he changed his moveset not by choice. He said he changed it because his body couldn't do it anymore. And so I think if you're a young talent in the business, if you're in your early 20s, do you want to be 29 potentially talking about your body deteriorating? No, I don't think you do. I think there's something to be said for slowing it down. You keep the big spots for pay-per-view as opposed to trying to get them in on TV every week. You keep them for pay-per-view and you focus on character and promo. And if I was a young talent, that's what I would do.
To that point, the Canadian destroyer off the ladders through a table was on pay-per-view.
Sure.
But I mean, and not everybody's built equal. Like Dante Martin is not in the running to be a top main eventer right now. Or
he's
maybe
not.
Ever.
No,
and
you're right.
Pentagon will never be in the situation where he can cut these enthralling promos like MJF.
No, I know that. I know that there's always going to be cases outside of that. I mean, that's just how it's always going to be. But if you're Dante Martin and he's like 22, do you want to be 32 and still be working at a high level? You know what I mean? Like I think if I was a talent today, I would definitely want to slow it down and not do all of this Irish shit. And I would definitely focus on promo and character. And if one of my kids ever came to me, because my son now is getting into wrestling and I haven't even pushed him towards it. He just seems to like watching Brock Lesnar throw people around. You know, if my son were to ever come to me and say, Dad, I think I want to give this pro wrestling thing a try. I would 100% tell him you are going to take improv classes, maybe some acting classes. You're going to learn to cut promos. You're going to learn character development because that's going to get you a lot farther than doing 450s. You know what I'm saying? And that's my opinion. And I think that a lot of the young guys today, they should focus more on that. And MJF is the perfect example. And again, he can go in the ring, but he is the perfect example of a guy who understood this is what you got to do to get to the top. And that's why MJF is at the top. And so that's what I would
do. 450, Jimmy.
You could?
I could. On a crash pad.
Do you have any video? Do you have video doing that?
No, I do have a mat. Well, there's footage of me doing a very, very good swanton that nobody will ever know is me.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's I've mentioned this on the air, so I don't mind mentioning it again, but there's three matches I've done since Fightful started. Cause when Fightful started, I was like, I can't train regularly. I was only wrestling like once a month at that point. But if I couldn't train regularly, I didn't want to be in the ring. I didn't want to watch any semblance of skills I had deteriorate in front of, you know, me being put under a microscope. So I didn't do that, but I did two or three, three matches, all under a mask. None of which are the mask that I wore to beat up Shaza McKenzie. But one of them got some good traction on the World Wide Web, and I did a very good swanton to end the match.
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
Okay, you're going to have to link me later.
Nope. The only way I... Nobody. My own friends don't know that it was me. One of my friends was there and watched the match, and I don't know if they know it was me yet. One person, Jimmy, has figured out that it was me and messaged me. And I hate to say this, but that person is now dead.
Okay, but I'm sorry to hear that, but
they were great.
If you don't know what you're looking for, how do you even stumble across the match? Like, if you don't know what you're looking for?
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Okay. I have a lot of other comments on my list and we don't really have a ton of time, but I want to ask you one more thing. So Nick Khan did an interview with Lightshed Live, whatever the hell Lightshed Live is. And he was asked if WWE might lean back into blood and gore given the merger with the UFC. And Nick Khan said that he thinks NBC Universal would be supportive of it in the 10 o'clock hour. The Masked Humper. Yeah. So I was curious what your thoughts are on the idea of WWE potentially bringing back blood.
Ryan says, how many subs? 30,000.
People are trying. Oh, how many subs to show them at?
30,000.
Come on.
30,000. That's legitimately, yeah.
But like 15.
No, absolutely not.
Are you embarrassed about the match?
Oh, no, no. It was a good match. It was,
so then why
it was one of my better matches, because I just don't feel like having weirdos on the internet dissect it. Like you saw what happened when I did a good DDT, Jimmy.
Yes.
You see how people act when I do something good in the ring. They're like, well, what else can we dissect?
You're right. I mean, people made shit up about you that wasn't even true.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, no, I don't want people dissecting that. As far as the gore, I'm okay with it if it's like the third hour. I love the war zone, the extra hour, all that stuff. I'm okay with that. As long as they don't like turn the damn lights out on the show and they say, now this is raw.
Yeah.
All that
yeah.
bullshit they were doing.
And black and white. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't go black and
that
white.
Weird stuff. Like, don't insult our intelligence. Oh my gosh. It's less offensive because it's in black and white.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. How many times have I seen the footage of Austin in the sharpshooter at WrestleMania 13 and they make it black and white? And that's what put him over the top. You know what I mean? So I'm all for blood when it's done right. I'm not a big fan of them of guys getting color every single week just for shits and giggles. When it's done right, I think it really adds to a program. It really adds to the height of a feud. So
as do I.
Yeah.
As do I. Shazza should have bladed for me for sure.
There's still time, Sean. There's still time.
There's still time. Boy, let me tell you, if those people hated that, they're going to really hate the other shit.
Oh, that wouldn't be good at all. Not unless you're the one that does it.
Oh, boy. Is that it? That all we got?
I have a lot more, but it's already pretty late. Do you want to tackle a couple more?
Yeah, sure. I don't mind. I'm getting paid for this.
Yeah, you're getting paid for this. Okay, let's talk about Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So prior to WrestleMania, he did a couple of interviews, you know, with Cormier and with Ariel Helwani, and he talked about how he had some real life animosity with Cody because he kind of felt Cody was getting opportunities that he deserved. He kind of suggested that Logan Paul, you know, wasn't exactly his favorite guy to work with. Then, so he does Mania, and I thought he had a pretty good match with Logan Paul. Then the Raw after Mania, he does the thing, and Vince is running the show. And he does the thing where all he does is go out, lead the crowd in a song, go to commercial, back for commercial, he's gone. Last week, he's not on the show. Was his absence travel related? Because Becky was there, and I thought they traveled together.
I hadn't heard anything negative about Rollins and WWE. I hadn't heard of any issues.
Okay, because the reason I was asking is he joked on Twitter when they announced him and Miz about, oh, I'm booked. And I figured it was just trolling.
I haven't heard anything negative about it at all.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. He's one of those guys, you know, like if you're Hunter and Rollins, obviously he's one of the guys you can really rely on. He's one of the guys that can always put up a good match, but he's also done everything. And so you get to a point where creatively I can see it becoming challenging. He's somebody much like Jericho. I'd put him in a faction. I would have Seth Rollins lead a faction. That's what I would do.
I think that would be a good approach.
Yes.
I think that would be great.
He had a couple of young guys over, get a rub.
Yeah, I mean, and he did briefly with, was it Theory and AOP?
Holy shit. I hardly remember that. That was so brief. Hardly remember it. But,
oh, man.
I guess that's it for this week. I guess that's it.
Guys, thank you all so much. Yes says, did you see that your pop might get into the whole Cultaholic Hall of Fame, Sean? I mean, they take all my other work. Why not that too, right? Until next time, guys, we're out.